Okay. Thank you, Alistair. Really appreciate your sharing with us. That was nicely done. Recognize the struggles that you will face with your life partner and... Sorry, not life partner, lab partner. And... Not yet, life partner, not yet. Really appreciate your openness and sharing your faith and being able to walk with the Lord. Okay, let's look at today's memory verse before we take a bit of time to pray. Taken from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, and we are encouraged to walk in love. Okay, let's take this verse together. Ready, go. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling aroma. And truly, the example of Christ is someone that we continually seek to emulate, to discover and to understand. And as he has shown us the ultimate sacrifice of giving his very life, may we also learn what it means to love as we should, to love as he did, and really to be able to love one another. May we continue to walk in love. Let's recite it one more time. Ready, Ephesians 5, verse 2, ready, go. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God as a sweet-smelling aroma. Okay. Well, let's take a bit of time to pray. We want to especially pray for Yao Hong. He's going in for another operation. And we want to especially pray that the Lord will continue to grant him his grace and mercy. This time round, they're going to take out all the metal things that are inside him and put it into a cast, and hopefully this will work. If not, then they don't really have a choice but to amputate. So it's going to be it's going to be a tremendous challenge for him, and we just want to especially commit him to the Lord. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray and thank you for your words as we are encouraged to walk in love. We pray, Lord, that you will teach us to love one another, even in prayer. We pray especially for Yao Hong, even as he goes for an operation this coming week. We pray that you will be with him. Pray that you will grant him your grace and strength. We pray that you will continue to watch over him in a very special way, especially also for the family members. We pray that you will comfort them and strengthen them. We pray that even as we study your words together, you will indeed enlighten us and encourage us as we seek to understand what it means to do your work and to walk in good works. We pray that you will bless our time together, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let me begin by asking ourselves this question. What is real life to you? I think for many of us, there are many things that fill our life. It could be our studies, it could be work, it could be being with family, it could be just having fun, one thing or another. But how do we see real life? What would you consider real life? For me, the idea of real life is something that is very much related to what God can do in our lives, and as a result, what we can do with our lives. I think it's important to understand that it's very much related to God's work in our lives. Even as we look at today's verse, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, this is a verse that is actually very close to both Chinky and myself. This was a verse that we focused on for our wedding. It was part of the decorations when we was on stage. It was right behind us, and there it was, Ephesians 2:10. And we, you know, it's a verse that is close to our hearts. I would show you the video of our wedding, but it's in VHS form. That was how long ago it was. So there's no way of showing you then. But even as I studied this verse all over again, I have sought to, I mean, as a result, I've begun to deepen my understanding of this verse, and especially looking at this verse after 13 years of marriage. How will we understand ourselves? What would you consider as real life? Now, firstly, let's consider how we should see ourselves. And in Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." So our life is seen as God's workmanship. The word workmanship in Greek is the word poema, or where you get the word poem. So when God works in our life, we are being crafted to become like his poem that he will write upon our lives, and he would create us into his very work. You know, I think this idea of poem has become even more significant to us because, pretty obvious, Pastor has been writing lots and lots of poems, and, you know, we appreciate the poems that he has written, whether it is from the Gospels, whether it's John or Mark, whether it is in relation to the messages, the themes that we've been focusing on. You know, each poem is a work of art. It is thoughtfully crafted and wonderfully designed. Even the books that we have received, you know, I really appreciate how Pastor would put a lot of effort and thought into writing these poems. In the same way, when God does his work in our life, it's not something that he does, you know, anyhow. It's a lot of thought and planning and design involved in working in our lives. And we want to be able to see ourselves as God's workmanship. He will leave his personal divine stamp of work of approval upon us as he does this work. You know, it is God's personal work. Each and every one of us is God's personal work. It is a divine work. And we become his workmanship. So I really thank God that we can be his work of art, his poem, his workmanship. And his workmanship is always the best if we truly, truly allow him to work in our lives. You know, Chinky and I chose this verse as our focus, as we saw ourselves as really God's workmanship. We saw how God had worked in our lives, and even as we were joined together as one, we see how the Lord needed to work in our lives, to continue to work in our lives. He has worked in our lives as individuals, and we wanted to see how God will continue to work in our lives as a couple. In fact, this verse has been etched on our wedding rings, Ephesians 2:10. And if you were to look at Chinky's ring, it's there. The only problem is I don't know where my ring is. No, let me explain. There came a point in time in which I stopped wearing my wedding ring. I actually don't like things on my hands. I don't wear a watch. And I oftentimes will just take it out and put it on the table and so on. So one day I decided, okay, I think I just put it in a nice place, safely. But as you would realize now, it somehow, I think it's somewhere in an apartment. And but I think it's more important that a verse has been etched in my heart. In our hearts. And it is a verse that has it is a verse that has come to be, you know, truly significant in our lives, especially as I look back these 13 years and how we have grown in our understanding of what it means for God to work in our lives, and that we will learn what it means to serve together. So even as I prepared this message, my understanding concerning this verse has actually grown. And I hope to share a little bit more about what I've discovered. And it's important for us to begin that how we see ourselves is that there must be this proper perspective that we are God's workmanship. It is not we trying to work things out for ourselves. It is God working in our lives. Now, how do we then understand the process of seeing our life being recreated in Christ? It says here that we are God's workmanship created in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. So there's a process that's there. It's important for us to understand that process of seeing our life literally being recreated. The word created basically means that once there was really nothing, and now there is something that exists. So when we are in the sphere of Christ, created in Christ Jesus, we enter into that whole process of Christ recreating us. Now let's look at Ephesians 2 a little bit. And Ephesians 2, it says there, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." So this is a description of what we were like before. Once we were just merely existing. It says here that who were dead in trespasses. So yes, we were alive in that sense, physically, but we were dead in trespasses and sin. So we were just merely existing. There was really no life, no real life. And why were we just existing? Well, we were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Once walk according to the world, once walk according to the prince, to Satan. And you know what? We were Satan's workmanship. So Satan once worked in our lives, and we were dead in our trespasses. And it was important that in being in Christ, God does a new work. But you look at the world today, you look at all that's happening, you know, we see how Satan is working. This week we went down to a popular bookstore to get some stationaries for our retreat. And you know, I came across some comics. So I came across this Archie comic. I thought, you know, Archie, I used to read it when I was young. I thought, okay, let me just lean through it a little bit while I was waiting. And you know, I was shocked when I saw the cover of this Archie comic. It had the word "just married" and there was a gay couple right in the front page, the front cover of an Archie comic. It wasn't Archie. It was I think one of the friends or something like that. So I was pretty shocked. Have you come across that? I mean, I was shocked that children would be exposed to such a thing. And it's, you know, and this idea of being gay and things like that, you know, it's so rampant now. And this is the world. And this is the work of Satan. You know, even as we look back in the past, we recognize how Satan used to have his hand of work in our lives. But when we are in Christ, then we are no longer dead in our trespasses. The Lord does a new creation in us, and we become alive. In verse 6, it says, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Okay? And by grace you have been saved, you know. We really thank God for the work of salvation in us. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So from being dead in our trespasses, we are recreated. And the Lord does a new work in us. We become, one, alive through His grace. We are raised up. And not only that, we are made to sit together in Christ. You know, to me, this is the Lord's wonderful work. This is His new creation that He's making in our own lives. So that we are no longer just existing. We are coming alive. We are being raised up to a greater form of life, spiritual life. And this is the process of being recreated in Christ. But having understood that, in that whole process, we have to ask ourselves also, what is the purpose? It says here, created in Christ Jesus for good works. There's a real sense of purpose being involved in our salvation, in being recreated. That is the whole purpose of life. Sometimes we ask ourselves, what is the purpose of life? What is it? We have been recreated for a purpose. That we are God's workmanship. God's work in our life, in our lives, is for a purpose. And that purpose is to do good works. Works, the word works here is really the word ergon or energy. And we become works of the energy of God. God's energy is involved when He does this work in our lives, when He recreates us in Christ Jesus. And then we are enabled. We are raised up. There is life now. And there is energy. And we become that means in which we can do good works. That is our purpose. What is the purpose of your life? How do you see purpose as we look at life? You know, this is the purpose that Chinky and I have embraced before we were married and after we were married, that we would seek to do good works. You know, the focus has always been the Lord and our love for Him and our service for Him. Let me share with you our marriage promises that we took 13 years ago. And we created our own marriage promises. And it was something that I did with the help, of course, of Pastor. But I wouldn't recommend this to you. But let me just share with you. Okay, this was my promise to Chinky. And it goes like this. Chinky, many speak of a love for each other in marriage. Now, I recited this, okay, without Pastor's help. I can't do it now. I cannot do the same because of the calling that God has given to me as His servant. I promise to love the Lord with all my heart and to put His work first. You will never take first place in my heart. However, this does not mean that I do not love you. I will always treasure and honor you for choosing to serve the Lord together with me. And as we stand before God, let's determine to walk according to God's ways. That was my promise to her. I wouldn't recommend this to anybody else. But this was Chinky's promise to me. And she said, "Mark, I know," sounds funny saying to myself, but "Mark, I know that I will never take first place in your heart, but I will not want anything else but to spend the rest of my life serving the Lord together with you. I too promise to love the Lord and His work with all my heart, and I will walk by your side and support you completely, both in life and in ministry, for as long as we both shall live." You know, this is our purpose for our life, the purpose of our marriage, to serve and to do God's good work. This is real life to us. It's not something that we just enter into casually. Do you seek to do God's good work as the purpose of your life? You know, this is something that must be indicative of our salvation. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. If we truly have salvation, if we truly understand what salvation, if we truly understand what Christ has done for us in recreating us, then good works should be something that is most natural. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 18 it says, "Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life." Paul's encouragement to Timothy was to have a good foundation to teach the brethren to be rich in good works, to be ready to give, to share. And this is crucial because it will indicate what salvation is all about. If we truly are saved and we truly are having the recreation of God in our lives, then doing good works will be the purpose of our lives, that we will seek to serve Him and to do His work. It's not something that we will do perfunctory or ritualistically. You know, let's seek to do the Lord's work with a great sense of joy in our hearts. You know, even as we think of Bethany 4, we want to show our support in whatever way we can. And at the retreat, we were deeply challenged by the example of David, with the kind of heart that he had. And we want to be able to find ourselves preparing so much more, that we was to understand what it means to give of ourselves, to give of what we have. You know, I really appreciate what Pastor shared, and you know, much of what we have, in fact all that we have, is really the Lord's. And what we are giving is only what the Lord, it really belongs to the Lord. It is the Lord's. You know, so much more we want to be able to do the Lord's work. So much more we must be committed to doing this good work. So much more we want to be able to be challenged to give towards the Lord's work. You know, I was deeply challenged recently by Chinky's father. You know, I was walking and then suddenly he just stopped me. You know, I was walking in the pew. He was sitting at the pew there and I say hi. And then he just stopped me and say, "You know, I want to give a check to Bethany 4. And I was deeply encouraged by that. And, you know, to me, it's a real indication of faith. You know, my father-in-law doesn't say very much beyond a certain level, but you know, these are to me little indications of faith that he will give, that he will seek to give towards the Lord's work. And you know, for Chinky and I, we were deeply challenged, and you know, we decided that we will match and more what he sought to give. And we are learning what it means to find a great sense of purpose in doing the Lord's work. Yet at the same time, even as we look at this idea of purpose, let's look at Ephesians 2 verse 10 again. And he goes on to say, which God prepared beforehand. So as much as you discover this purpose, we also want to understand the whole plan of God. And God has a predetermined plan for our lives. You know, our ministry of doing good works is all part and parcel of God's plan for our lives. God planned it beforehand already. He predetermined it that we should seek to do these things. He designed it. He prepared it that our lives would seek to do good works. You know, sometimes it's good for us to step back and not just to be so caught up with all the grind of life, but to see the greater picture where God is leading us and guiding us. And sometimes it's good to look back and to see how God continues to be there in the decisions that we make, and see God's predetermined plan unfolding bit by bit. And the more as you discover it, as more as you follow and fulfill His will in your life, you are able to discover this grand plan God has determined for us. And that discovery is truly amazing. You know, even as I look back on my own life, and as I relook at how the Lord has unveiled His plan so much more, you know, I really am thankful. I see God's predetermined plan in calling me into the ministry. You know, I went over to Perth, I studied business, and you know, did a business degree and so on, and I thought that I would do something related to business as part of my work. But you know what? God had a predetermined plan. I went out into the working world, became a banker. I worked in Tuck E Bank for 3 years. And before long, I began to sense the Lord's calling in my life and began to discover God's predetermined plan for my life. And it was something that I was very glad to discover. And I can safely say that discovering my calling to serve the Lord was the best decision in my whole entire life, because it helped me to understand God's plan, and I entered into that plan and I never looked back. I really thank God for that. Recently, an old friend of mine appeared in the news. He is now a top lawyer. He is now the principal lawyer of a law firm, Baker and McKenzie. You know, he's the managing partner. You know, when I saw his face, I was very, very happy for him. I have not seen him for many, many years. Close friend of mine in JC and so on. I was genuinely very happy for him. I even wrote an email and said, hey, you know, we should catch up. I congratulated him and so on. And, you know, he is an IP, you know, IP lawyer. I think he's probably one of the top lawyers in Singapore. But even though I'm happy for him, I really have no desire to have the same kind of position that he has in this world. By all means, please do well in life and go as high as you can if the Lord will bless you. But it was not something that I desired, because God revealed His plan for me, and that predetermined plan was that I would want to serve Him. The second best decision that I made was marrying Chinky. I also see this as God's predetermined plan. Because as we sought to live together and serve together, I began to see how the Lord began to work in our lives and to do good works. You know, one day before all this happened, Pastor pulled me one side and he asked me whether there was anybody in mind that I had for a life partner. And I mentioned her. And he said, you know, I was also thinking about her. And, you know, to me, this is God's predetermined plan. And I thank God because we have now see the joy of how we can complement each other in our ministries. For instance, I preach the Lord's word, she does the slides. I also compliment her in her work. She goes to Popular to buy notebooks, and I have to help carry her the notebooks. Actually, no, like, we got somebody to push the trolley, so I just went along. No, actually, we do stuff quite a bit, you know, alongside each other, whether it's in YAG, teens worship, choir. You know, I see all these things as God's plan for our lives, in being able to work together and serve together. Do you see God's predetermined plan in your life? Have you discovered this predetermined plan? And that God has a plan for each and every one of us to do His good work. You know, ultimately, as we study all these things, at the end of the day, there must be that personal determination to walk in these good works. It says here that we should walk in them. You know, let's be challenged. Let's be challenged to personally determine within our own hearts to walk in these good works. To have a lifestyle in which we will seek to fulfill God's work, God's good work. You know, this week we had the opportunity to do good works. Sugate passed away, and we ministered to Siu Tiong, Isiang, and their family. And it was a wonderful opportunity to reach out to the family. Right from the very beginning, early Saturday morning, we went down to be with the family and to minister to Siu Tiong and make all the necessary arrangements to minister to them through the vigils and through the funerals. I remember that night, that early morning when Pastor called, it was I think about 2:30 a.m. And Pastor is always gracious. He will always say, okay, Mark, you know, somebody passed, I'm going. Actually, Sugate was in a very bad state already, so Siu Tiong informed him and he said that he was going to go down. And he would always say, you know, you don't have to go down, you know, if that's fine with me also. So you always ask whether I would like to go down too. Then, of course, Pastor tells you to go, you go. You know, it's like you, of course, he still gives me the option. But, you know, my heart is that it's always ready to want to go down and to minister as what we should do. And for the next few days, we were there to share the Lord's word and to minister to the family. And the whole church actually rallied together. And I thought that was wonderful. And I was glad to hear from Isiang that the family was deeply touched by the church, by all that we sought to do. And in fact, they are lots more open. In fact, they were so touched by the song Kang Wai Chiu that they asked for the song to be downloaded and you know, so that they can listen to the song. We're glad that, you know, especially for Isiang's parents in trying to, you know, help him reach out to them. You know, we seek to walk in good works. We seek to do good works even on the daily basis, in all that we seek to do, we want to be able to reach out, whether it is just giving up a seed or whether it is reaching out to somebody or sharing the gospel. We can do God's good work each and every day. We should walk in them. And it is a personal determination. We want to commence in walking in these good works. We want to continue, and we also want to seek to complete our work on this earth. And there's no greater example than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He sought to do many good works. In the 3 years of ministry, he gave his very life. From morning to night, he did all he could, healing people, ministering to people, teaching them, showing compassion. He did God's good work. And of course, he gave himself as the ultimate sacrifice in dying on the cross, a work that would save all of mankind. And he should be our example. Our hearts should be challenged to love him even more and to respond in doing his good work. And that's one of the reasons why I chose this song as our pre-worship and last hymn. It is a wonderful song. Let me just read the last verse to you again. And I chose to add on this last verse. And he says, I vow to thee, my Jesus, all earthly things above, entire and whole and perfect, the service of my love. I like these words. The love that asks no question, the love that stands the test, that lays upon the altar the dearest and the best. And that's what it means. That's what is required of us. If we would really want to set our affection on the house of the Lord, then we must seek to lay upon the altar the dearest and the best. The love that never falters, the love that pays the price, the love that makes undaunted the final sacrifice. Of course, one reference, the final sacrifice would have, for the Lord Jesus, it would have been dying on the cross. But what about us? What if we are called to give our very lives to the Lord, to die for him? Would we? Would we show such love for the Lord in response to that great love he has given to us? May our hearts truly be challenged to walk so much more in doing God's good work. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father,